Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:35 p.m. on Monday, January 22nd, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Amanda Kraft from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Kaufman, Senator Giesel, Senator Tobin, my vice chair, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first and only order of business today is Senate Bill 60, Repeal Workers' Comp Appeals Commission, sponsored by Senator Wilikowski. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I believe before we get to a presentation on the bill, Mr. Dunsmore here from Senator Wilikowski's office, you can come forward. And we have a committee substitute in front of us, which would be version B. Senator Keel, could I have a motion to adopt that as our working document?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Judiciary Committee adopt the CS for Senate Bill 60, Work Draft 33LS0330/B, as in Bethel, as our working document.
And before we take that up, Mr. Dunsmore, what are the changes from A to B?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'm David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Bill Wilikowski. The only changes in version B are it updates all of the dates in the bill from 2023 to 2024.
Any that any questions about the A to B? Is there any opposition to adopting version B as our working document? Hearing and seeing none, version B is now our working document. Mr. Dunsmore, if you go ahead and well, you've already identified yourself for the record. If you want to go ahead and tell us about version B of Senate Bill 60.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Again, I'm David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilikowski. And Senator Wilikowski apologizes. He had another commitment, so he's not able to join us for the beginning of this hearing. Senate Bill 60 repeals the Alaska Workers' Compensation Commission and returns jurisdiction over workers' compensation appeals to the Superior Court, which heard these cases before 2005. This will save $482,400 per year. That's the number from the governor's current proposed budget. And by saving this money will help reduce the workers' compensation budget deficit and make our workers' compensation system more solvent. How the workers' compensation adjudication system works: when a worker files a claim, if it's contested, it's heard by the workers' compensation board by a three-member hearing panel that consists of the chair, who's a full-time employee, a full-time state employee who is an attorney, and the other two hearing panel members are one member from labor and one member from management. If either party appeals a board decision, it would currently go to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, which is a unique commission that kind of substitutes for the role the Superior Courts usually play in administrative hearings. The commission is structured the same way as the board. So cases are heard by the full-time chair, who is an attorney, and one labor member and one management member. There's no requirement that any of the lay members be lawyers. This bill would transfer jurisdiction for these cases to the Superior Court system, and the appeal from there would be to the Supreme Court, as it currently is from the commission. This bill will save $482,000 a year. Currently, the commission has two full-time employees, the attorney chair and a clerk, and additionally, they pay for a travel and per diem for staff member. The court system has provided a zero fiscal note. I would note something we really appreciate is the court system is estimating that the commission will receive 30 cases per year and will be able to handle that with a zero fiscal note. The actual number of cases filed with the commission last year was four. We think that, like, even if somehow we'd see an abnormally high number of cases, the zero fiscal note would still be appropriate. The workload for the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission has fallen dramatically from a high of 49 cases and 42 published decisions in 2007 to only 4 cases filed last year, and for the last 2 years in a row, they've issued 5 published decisions. This issue has been evaluated by the legislature before. In 2015, the House Labor and Workforce Development Finance Subcommittee reviewed the commission and found it to be an ineffective division and unnecessary given the light amount of casework. At that point, they were closing 30 cases a year. Last year it was 5, so the findings would be even more appropriate. One of the goals with creating the commission was that cases would reach a final decision faster through the commission than through the court system. That has not proven to be the case. The Superior Court, prior to the creation of the commission, according to the testimony the legislature heard at the time, took 8 to 18 months to decide these appeals. And it was estimated that the commission would be able to decide these cases within 6 months. Instead, in 2018, it averaged over a year to decide cases. That has come down as the workload has decreased, but it's still over 9 months to decide cases in 2021. And a large part of that is going to be the parties are going to often be requested. Some of the reasons it can take longer to decide a case is really from the parties, not from the process itself. But the biggest way that this bill will return into the court system will allow a final resolution is we expect that there will be significantly fewer appeals to the Supreme Court. And of course, appealing to the Supreme Court adds months, if not years, onto the process of finally resolving a case. When the Superior Court handled appeals, the testimony that the legislature heard was that about 25% of those Superior Court decisions were appealed to the Supreme Court. Since the commission was created, 37% of all of its published decisions have been appealed to the Supreme Court. But that number has increased in recent years. And since 2011, exactly 50% of their published decisions have been appealed. The Office of Management and Budget has identified any possible turnover with the commission staff as a key component challenge, that should one of their 2 employees leave, the need to fill that position could create delays by returning these cases to the Superior Court, which has dozens of judges. There would be the redundancy that, like, losing a single staff member would not create the challenges that it would under the current system. Alaska's workers' compensation and safety programs income is declining. These programs are funded through a tax on workers' compensation claims. The tax revenue collected has fallen significantly in recent years and is projected to continue to fall. In the previous committee, Senator Bishop actually pointed out that this is actually a good thing that the revenue is falling because it means our workplaces are getting safer and we're having less workers' compensation claims. But it does create a revenue problem, and the $482,000 that this bill will save would go a ways to address that. And so, yeah, the bottom line, SB 60 will make state government more efficient by removing an unnecessary piece of bureaucracy. It will save $482,000 annually. It will preserve parties' rights to have their cases heard in a timely manner. It will reduce appeals to the Supreme Court and will make our workers' compensation system more solvent. And I'd be happy to take any questions from committee.
Don't see any. Oh, Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair to Mr. Dunsmore.
I guess it sounds like the risk management of this has been handled. So you're changing from one system or from where we are now back to, if I'm understanding, the way it was. Are we still assured that the case, that the court, I mean, I guess the fiscal note says that they can absorb this, that as far as a workload, there's not like a hidden cost that we're not seeing?
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman, the court system can probably speak to their fiscal note better. Yes, I mean, what they've testified and provided in the fiscal note is that they can absorb these cases. I'm sure, we all know how busy many of our judges' dockets are, so they wouldn't necessarily like to have an increased workload. But right now, with only four cases coming in last year, we're looking at each judge having one case every several years.
Follow up?
Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair. I guess the part of that is the employment trends. We're not in a big layoff, in a decreasing workforce. Everybody's trying to hire desperately, and so we don't have dangerous conditions, I guess. I don't know what would drive a spike in that, but do we have a clear view of what all the trends were? So it was, as we go from a less industrial workforce to a more blended workforce, that the trends are down. Do we have clarity on what's driving those trends?
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman, and I can provide to the committee the annual reports from the Workers' Compensation Division, which has detailed some of this. The general trend is that workplace injuries and thus workers' compensation claims have been trending downwards.
I would appreciate that. One other, if
sure.
I may.
Go ahead, Senator Kaufman.
And so, through the chair, does transferring this to the court system, that does it drive in any way legal fees? I mean, if you're in the current mode of operation, does that change the burden since it is moving to court? Is there any, I guess, burden on the system outside of government that would be increased?
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman, commission, I believe, currently does charge filing fees, but like both the commission and the courts have ways for indigent defendants to get the filing fees waived.
Thank you. Senator Wiesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dunsmore, is this a commission that is subject to legislative audit? And if so, have they been audited?
Through the chair, Senator Diesel, this commission is not subject to the sunset audit, and that's probably largely because the complex statutory structure of if the commission were to sunset, where would the authority go? So the answer is no.
Thank you.
I have a question, and it may call on, we may want Nancy Mead as well to comment, but four cases doesn't seem like a lot of cases, but by the same token, the court system, we keep hearing about how they're in backlogs and kind of all fronts and all offices and challenged. And so in terms of the time to appeals getting finished, even though the court system has a zero fiscal note, I mean, why should we think that the court will get it through their system faster than the 9 months it's apparently taken when they had a few more cases than they do today?
Through the chair, Senator Clayman, I don't necessarily believe that the courts will be able to decide these cases faster than the 9 months. The testimony in the previous when the legislature created this commission in 2005 was 8 to 18 months per case. Where we expect to see the significant savings is that 25% of cases, statistically speaking, that are currently getting appealed and end up in the Supreme Court, that we would expect not to be appealed, looking at the previous trends from when the Superior Court heard these cases.
Ms. Mead, could you come forward, please? Uh, I understand the zero fiscal note because there don't appear to be very many cases, but what can you tell us about the timeline to resolution with the backlogs that we've heard a lot about?
For the record, this is Nancy May, General Counsel for the Alaska Court System. With respect to the times to disposition, apparently in 2005, which predated my work here, it was 8 to 18 months, according to my predecessor's testimony. Today, our resolution of agency appeals is taking longer. I don't know exactly how long, but I can actually maybe find data. It's hard to find that. Many times the parties agree to extensions, which is why a big part of why it takes a long time. But I would guess that it's 18 months pretty routinely now for agency appeals. And I could speak to other aspects of the fiscal note if you have questions about it.
Does anybody have other questions about the fiscal note? I have at least understood the fiscal note to be there's not just not enough cases to impact the court as a fiscal matter, but that doesn't. My concern is about the time to disposition because 18 months is a long time.
Yes, to the chair, and we've had a zero fiscal note on previous iterations of this bill, which were quite similar, actually. It does not mean that there isn't a workload impact. I mean, a fiscal note means you'd have to hire a person. We don't hire a person, even if judges have a bunch more work, unless something is severe. So our same number of judges will have more work. I do want to say that the four cases last year, might not be an indication of what there would be if these came to Superior Court. When these went from court to the Appeals Commission, there was, as Mr. Dunsmore mentioned, a spike, 49 cases. I think it's not an unreasonable conclusion that when there's a change, there's more uncertainty and more people might try to get a different result out of that. So four might have been the number last year, but I continue to think that if these came, we would have more than four, at least in the near term, until things get a little bit more settled out. But that is, you know, whether it's 30 or whether it's four, fiscal impact would be zero. The workload impact would be substantial. As I've mentioned before, these cases are really, really difficult cases for the judges who do not have this expertise. And that was one of the main reasons that in 2005, these cases went from the courts without subject matter expertise to a panel that has experience in this area.
I don't see any other questions for you. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Mead. I don't see any other questions for the bill sponsor. Oh, Senator Giesen.
Well, Ms. Mead just raised a question in my mind, and I may have misunderstood you, Mr. Dunsmore. What are the qualifications to sit on this commission?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, chair is a full-time state employee who serves on every panel. They are an attorney. They're required as part of the job description to have experience in workers' compensation matters. Labor and management panelists have to meet the qualification for either being a labor or management one, and they have to have previous experience serving on the workers' compensation board. So they are subject matter experts in adjudicating the facts of workers' compensation cases. They aren't subject matter experts when it comes to adjudicating legal matters, which is what the commission does. So they're not experts in adjudicating whether standards of evidence review correctly are. So two-thirds of the panel are lay members with workers' compensation board experience, and one-third is an attorney.
Thank you. That's what I thought I heard initially. Thank you for the clarification.
I don't see any other questions. We do have invited testimony today. The first person for invited testimony is Martha Tanzik, who's an attorney at Meschke, Paddock, and Budzinski. Ms. Tanzik, if you want to identify your, place yourself on the record, you should be on our teleconference, and you can provide your invited testimony, and then we may have questions for you.
Thank you, Chair Klayman. Esteemed senators, my name is Martha Tanzik. I'm an Anchorage attorney with Meschke, Paddock, and Budzinski. and the majority of my practice is in workers' compensation defense. I have experience with the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board, as well as the Commission and the Alaska Supreme Court. The issue of the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, I think, is certainly a challenge for everyone who's involved, and I personally have been on the recipient end of some precedent-changing decisions from the Commission, and I'm under no false illusions or pretenses that the Commission itself is a perfect system. I don't believe there is a perfect system. That said, I do oppose the bill to abolish the Commission. As you're well aware by now, there are a few major concerns about repealing the Commission, returning to the first layer of appeals to the Supreme Court. Those primary concerns do have to do with subject matter complexity, the resource toll that it would take on the Superior Court, and the failure to meet the intent of the Act. I think it's important to place, after listening to some of the comments, I think it's important to place this in a bit of context. When the appeals shifted to the Workers' Compensation Commission was 2005, and that is the same point in time in which there was a major shift in Alaska workers' compensation law. We went from a very settled body of law talking about what the legal standard was, the but-for standard, so to speak, into a shift to the substantial cause, which is a different version of the legal standard that happened after 2005. And so there's a change in the law there that allowed for a lot of nuances that didn't necessarily exist prior to that, which I think explains some of these differences that you might be seeing in the number of appeals. And it also explains why you have potentially seen a downtrend over time in the commission cases as the law has become more settled as we get further away from 2005. Superior Court judges are generalists, and as you heard Ms. Mead say, they are not subject matter experts. The commission is. The attorney at the center of the hearing is a subject matter expert, and the lay members of the commission have more experience than many Superior Court judges do with workers' compensation issues and being a part of that decision-making process and applying the law to the facts. For most appeals from the board level, it's really important to have an individual who's familiar with the Act adjudicating that appeal, because that familiarity reduces the likelihood of appeal to the Supreme Court. Additionally, the commission does have precedential value, meaning that we all have to adhere to their decisions as law going forward, whereas the Superior Court does not. So there's little to no incentive to accept a ruling of the Superior Court except to reduce future litigation costs. That subject matter expertise gives efficiency and predictability for all of us going forward. And there's absolutely no indication that in the post-2005 law change, the Superior Court would be any more correct than the Commission has or would be appealed any less than the Commission has. The second issue generally is about the lack of resources for the Superior Court. As you heard Ms. Mead say,
actually, ma'am, before you go to the second issue, on the first issue, one of the questions that strikes me, if you agree with Mr. Dunsmore's testimony that we're now, last year we had four appeals, it seems like a pretty large amount of resources. I mean, if you look at the number of opinions that a Superior Court judge issues in a year, or the number of cases and opinions issued by the Alaska Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals in a given year, four appeals seems like a pretty light caseload.
Through the chair, absolutely. Four in a year is a light caseload, but already this year there have been two. So the trend appears to be changing in 2024 already.
Okay.
I believe there's another point of consideration there, which has to do with the fact that sometimes the numbers that you're seeing on appeal also correlate with how many decisions are issued from the board in a given year. If there are less hearings occurring at the board level, there's less opportunity for appeals. And since there are often less hearings nowadays at the board level, you're going to see a corresponding smaller amount of appeals to the Appeals Commission.
Okay. You can go on to your second point.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. The second point is that it is going to take a considerable amount of time to get a decision through the Superior Court. I think we all recognize that there are other important cases that the court has to adjudicate, especially in a more timely manner than workers' compensation cases. And that kind of delay, be it 8 to 18 months, is much, much longer than the Appeals Commission and certainly does not support the intent of the Workers' Compensation Act, which is that injured individuals or employers get a quick, efficient, fair, and predictable delivery of benefits at a reasonable cost. There's nothing about the appeals through the Superior Court at this point in time that is more quick, efficient, or predictable than the Appeals Commission itself, nor is it more likely to be at a reasonable cost. As Mr. Dunsmore said, the Appeals Commission itself is funded in part through earmarked premiums, and it's interesting to think that we would then be shifting that burden back over to the general fund away from these earmarked premiums that are already designated for that. I do have such great esteem for all of you thinking about these hard, hard choices, and it's very difficult decision to make, but I think that there's more that goes into the epidemiology of a dropped number of cases or workforce development than just thinking about whether or not there were four cases and therefore we should get rid of a commission. The issue is broader than that, and I appreciate your time thinking about ways to look at the system as a whole.
Thank you very much. Other questions for Ms. Tanzik? Senator Tobin has a question. She was pondering before she said that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question. As you've mentioned in your letter around setting precedent, and I apologize as I am not a lawyer and nor have I been in the court of law, so I don't know how to ask this question effectively, but does the commission set precedent? Do they have the ability to set legal precedent?
Through the chair to Senator Tobin, yes. The commission does have the ability to set legal precedent. And so just to define that term, probably poorly, but if anyone has a better definition, I'll defer. But it is a legally binding decision, so a decision that helps to form the body of the law surrounding that area. So we have statute and regulations, and then we have case law that is precedential, and we combine the two of those together to form the rules that govern how we behave in an area.
For a little bit more clarity, Senator Tobin, I would say, and Ms. Tanzik will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that for purposes of the next decision by the commission, their prior decisions have precedent for decisions that they make. They would look to published Superior Court decisions or Alaska Supreme Court decisions, which might actually have a higher weight on their precedent than their own decisions. But if they haven't, if there is no decision on issue X, then if they make a decision on the prior case on issue X, they would be bound by that precedent the next time that comes before them. Ms. Tanzik, did I get that right or did I miss it?
Respectfully, Chair, I think that the portion about the Alaska Supreme Court is absolutely correct. That does have a higher precedential value, whatever the Alaska Supreme Court says until the legislature alters that through statute and regulations. But the Superior Court itself does not hold precedential value, and any decision issued by the Superior Court does not hold precedential value.
Did you have follow-up, Senator Tobin, or did that?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just was a little had curiosity around non-lawyers and non-judges setting precedent.
Senator Heal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Tanzik, thank you so much for your testimony. It's great to have an expert on the line. As I look at the history, I guess I would ask you to help me with the correlation you see between the number of rulings the commission has issued and appeals to the Supreme Court. It appears to vary anywhere from 30% to the high 60s. Is it? Do you see historically a strong correlation there? It looks to me like it swings a lot.
Through the chair, Senator Kelly, I believe I would agree with you. It does swing a lot. I can tell you that, for example, right now, two of the cases that I can think of off the top of my head that are on appeal. One is a case where I think that the appeal is probably driven more by the particular claimant counsel who is representing the employee than by the likelihood of the merits of that decision or the likelihood that it would be overturned at the Appeals Commission. Another that is currently up before the Supreme Court has to do with attorney's fees and costs and the desire of employees' counsel to have their attorney's fees paid at upwards of $600 an hour. And those are not issues that are going to be settleable, say, at a board level or at the commission level. Those were always things that were going to go all the way up on appeal. So there's a difference between those and some of the early decisions shaking out where exactly the case law fell in the post-2005 universe as opposed to, say, self-represented individuals who are moving up through the system, and that's just highly variable on how many cases go through in any given year.
Thank you.
I don't see any other questions, Ms. Tanzik. Thank you very much. Next, for invited testimony, we have Lynn Elliott, who's Assistant Vice President with State Government Relations at American Property Casualty Insurance Company. Ms. Elliott, if you want to identify yourself, let us know where you're calling from, and you can proceed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great, thank you so much. Let me just pull up my written comments. My name is Lynn Elliott. I currently reside in Longmont, Colorado, and I work for the National Trade Association, the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, more commonly known as APCIA. Thank you for letting me talk today. I represent the mountain region, which does include Alaska and the Intermountain West. I also wanted to let you know that my colleague, Christy Teams, is APCIA's workers' compensation policy expert, and she has also joined via telephone. She will be available after my remarks to answer any technical questions or provide any additional information that I may have missed. Let me just start by saying that APCIA members represent 82% of Alaska's workers' compensation insurance market. So we have a large footprint there, and we've been keenly interested in this legislation. Our members have long supported the work of the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, and we oppose its repeal under Senate Bill 60. It is in direct opposition to the grand bargain of workers' compensation, which was to ensure timely payment of benefits without the need for unnecessary legal system delays. So from that perspective, the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission should be considered a model for the nation, as it's been incredibly successful. I'd like to make 3 points today. The first, workers' compensation is extraordinarily complex, and the commission members are subject matter experts, and I know that this has been addressed by the previous witness. In fact, it's hard to find a more complex area of the law than workers' compensation. Alaska has significant case law that has extensively modified Alaska statutes that governs workers' compensation, and these commission members are very knowledgeable of both the law and the case law, which allows them to adjudicate cases more easily and reduces the likelihood of Supreme Court appeal. I know that there has been focus by the sponsor of the legislation on the number of cases that have dropped over the last several years. And I would suggest that that's exactly what we want to see happen and would expect to see if the commission is properly doing its job. We would call this precedential value. The commission's rules, as indicated by the previous witness, are binding as law. Therefore, the commission is creating precedent that provides guidance as to the types of cases that continue to come before the commission. So these rulings then are providing guidance to the workers' compensation bar and are relied upon heavily for cases and a determination as to whether a case has precedent or not and whether it should come before the commission for appeal, on appeal. My second point is the judicial system and potential delay in resolution of workers' compensation appeals. Superior Court has 6 months from hearing to trial to issue a decision. The commission has 30 days from hearing to a resolution of an appeal for the claimant. So just by virtue of the time frame, 6 months versus 30 days in itself is a violation of the grand bargain. Additionally, I would just add that it's my understanding that workers' compensation cases as civil cases would take a back seat always to criminal cases, and so they would be in the clue before that clock would even start to tick. The third point I would like to make is, the previous witness expounded, so I will just touch on this, that the repeal of the commission does not support the intent of the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act. The act states the intent of the legislature is to ensure the quick, efficient, fair, and predictable delivery of indemnity and medical benefits to injured workers at a reasonable cost to employers. I would suggest that if superior courts in Alaska can guarantee that workers' compensation appeals will be resolved in 30 days, then perhaps this may be an acceptable policy move to make. However, we don't see a demonstrable evidence that would in fact occur, saving less than $480,000 at the expense of quick resolution of claims for injured workers doesn't appear to be a good trade-off. We would urge your no vote on this legislation. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to testify. Christy Rye would be pleased to answer any questions of the committee.
I don't see any committee questions or other members of the committee. I have a couple of questions. I'm looking at the budget, and the commission has what basically two employees. There's an office assistant and the chair of the commission. And you describe the members of the commission who are not paid as subject matter experts. And where are they getting the expertise, and why aren't they compensated? I know that may be a legislative question that you can't answer, but I'm curious how you can describe somebody that's essentially volunteering in a position as a subject matter expert.
Mr. Chair, I can't speak to the budget piece of that because I certainly don't know the Alaska budget. I would simply suggest that because these individuals have spent a lot of time and effort, even as volunteers on this commission, in this capacity, they have become the subject matter experts in workers' compensation, and the commission's rulings are binding, as binding as law. And so I don't know how you could not see the commission as the subject matter expert in Alaska. I'm happy to defer that question and to Christy or to follow up with you at a later date with additional information.
Okay, it's not really a point of, I'm just looking further at the budget document, and it notes that I guess they're paying the commission members, the chair, but they're paying the commission members $400 per day, and it looks like they're budgeted a total of four members for 13 total days. But about all I can tell you, I don't know what Ms. Tanzik's hourly rate is, but I suspect that it pales in comparison to, or that $400 pales in comparison to what she gets paid to appear and work on these matters. I guess I'm kind of a skeptic that, yeah, they're asked to be the experts, and they're the experts we have, but it doesn't look like we're really paying them very well for what we're asking them to do. Questions from other members of the committee? I don't see any. I know we don't listed Ms. Tanzik and Ms. Elliott as invited testimony. Ms. Teams, I know you're online. I'll give you the opportunity if you want a couple of minutes, if you want to add anything to what Ms. Elliott's already said. You're there on behalf of the same group. But if you'd like to add anything, I'll give you that opportunity since you took the time to call in.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Christy Thiems with the American Property Casualty Insurance Association. I really would only reiterate what the two people who spoke with me took before would say. I might comment further on the lay people who are working on this committee in that they, you know, would have generally have more safety expertise more dealing with work injuries and workers' compensation claims. So I do think that there is value to that, even if they're only being paid $400 a day. Other than that, I would just simply reiterate that the primary goal of the Workers' Compensation Act is to ensure efficient benefits without delay to injured workers. And when these cases are on appeal, if they're delayed with the Superior Court, you're going to have injured workers potentially waiting for benefits that haven't been decided yet, that potentially could have been decided more quickly in front of the commission.
Okay.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions from members of the committee. I guess a more question for Mr. Dunsmore. I see Senator Wilikowski has also joined us. There was some testimony earlier about the number of workers' compensation cases that the board decides as a percent, and the appeals reflective of the number of cases decided by the board. Do you have statistics about the number of cases decided by the Workers' Compensation Board? And is that in the packet? And I just have, if you want to point that out, I'd be curious to.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilikowski, that's not in the packet. That is available in the annual report from the Workers' Compensation Division, and we can provide that to the committee.
That would be great. That's an interesting question about how many decisions are made, and if four last year was all that were appealed, whether that means that everybody's happy with the Workers' Compensation Board or whether the commission has a reputation of affirming whatever the board does. Interesting question. So we can get, if you can get that information, we can, that would be great. I don't see any other questions or comments from anyone on the committee. So at this time, we're going to hold Senate Bill 60 for further review. We're going to adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, January 24th. And I want to note that we will be delayed to the call of the chair. I know at least two members of the committee are going to be in finance that afternoon, one presenting and one on the finance committee. And I, too, will be presenting at the finance committee, which is the reason why we're delayed to the call of the chair. But we will eventually convene on Wednesday, and with that, we're going to